Hey guys, welcome back. This is Richard Sachs on Lost Arts Radio. We're honored to have Gabriel Cousins here as we do normally, and I just want to clarify before we jump into it why I'm not on camera. There's still an intense battle going on that we were talking about before of whether or not I stay in this physical body, and I'm doing my best to do that. Strong forces pulling me out. I thought I was finished last week as far as this form is concerned, but I'm back and much more focused and determined, and it seems clear that that's going to continue. I have a contribution to make, like all of you, and I don't want it cut short in the middle of all that's happening. And when you talk about everything going on in the world right now, between the worldwide details of attempted tyranny and takeover of all of humanity, and the larger program that many of us know about to exterminate all life on the planet, manifesting in so many ways right now as it has before. We were talking before the show about, with all that going on, what do we talk about for the few minutes that we've got? And Dr. Cousins had a great idea that at the center of all of it is our identification with who we are, whether it's the fake ego, nonsense self, and the mind programs, or the real image of God. And the unity that would come from that. And I think it's a great topic. So without taking any more of the time, let's go to Dr. Cousins and we'll get into that right away. Welcome, Dr. Cousins. Thanks for being.
Hey, thank you, Richard. And as usual, I'm glad you're still here. And I encourage everyone to send you prayers on a daily basis to support the struggle that's going on.
That's part of why I'm still here, I'm sure, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm certainly doing that. So, okay. So what we always do in the midst of all this consciousness down is we do a little bit of a little dance to get the spiritual joy up so we can kind of see more of the truth. Because if you can't see the truth through grief or sadness or discouragement, okay, or hopelessness, that's what they want to create. So people become disempowered
Right.
and disconnected.
We could turn this around at any moment.
We are turning this around from my point of view, but it's just a little bit of a slow process. So have we reached the turning point? No, that's the point, but it will turn. But it starts with spiritual joy. If you keep the spiritual joy, if you access the spiritual joy, it allows you to feel your oneness and feel encouraged and hopeful. And these are key components. One of the key things, in college, I was captain of an undefeated football team. And one of the key things is the consciousness that we're going to be undefeated. Just that's it. That there's no way out of that. And at one point, we're in one game against Bowdoin, and they were leading 18 to nothing going into the second half. We won the game 19 to 18. And a few of us were going both ways. We played really hard. And a little bit of a turning point is when I had a head-on collision. I was a middle linebacker and guard. I had a nice head-on collision with their quarterback, who was really good, okay? Fast and good. So I caught him behind the line and he put his head down and I put my head down and boom, and he got knocked out. And that was a turning point in terms of the energetics of it, because you never give up. You never give up. You just play as hard as you can and wait for that turning point. So we won 19-18 with 6 seconds to go. But that's the point I'm making. Because you don't enter in the first half 18 points behind, and they were undefeated, we are undefeated. So it was like they were really the best team that we played the whole year. And the point I'm making is we became on fire as we played in the second half. That's what's needed here, is we have to kind of not get discouraged, but get on fire in terms of, we can do this. We can do this. And we can do this. And we will do this. Okay, so let's do a little dance and get that spiritual joy going. Oh, and the funniest thing is, I didn't even know I knocked him out. I was so involved in the game, I didn't even know he was taken off the field. And that's what it takes. You have to be totally focused. Okay, here we go. Let's meditate just for a moment or two, just to get ourselves centered. Here we go. Just focus on my eyes and let the energy come through. As I entered into meditation, I remembered two other things about the football game. It's a great teacher. Football's like life. They were really, really, really the best team we played. They lost their next three games because, again, it's in the mind. The game is in the mind. And it was such a disappointment for them because they were thinking, we're going to be undefeated. We'll be ranked number one. They were ranked ahead of us. They would beat them. So because they lost the game, they lost their spirit. They lost their intensity. And the challenge in life is it's not how many times you fall, it's how many times you get up. That's very relevant to our discussion, okay? Because the people who are currently in power in many places around the world, they want people to get discouraged and give up. That's what they want. And the rising leaders, you know, like the president in Argentina, says they're not giving up, okay? That's really important in the big picture. The other thing is, in the same game, I'm playing guard and I'm pretty enthusiastic blocking for my the quarterback. And I kept really blocking this guy. And he got so frustrated, he took a big swing at me. And I just backed up, like, I'm not getting a fight and get kicked out of the game. Well, he got kicked out of the game. That hurt them because he was actually a pretty good player. The point I mean, you can't get frustrated. You can't get angry. That gets in the way of the whole thing. Doesn't mean you don't fight hard and you don't get, you know, put your energy into it. But the minute you get angry, you kind of lose control. So you lost control. The quarterback got knocked out because he put his head down and forgot to relax. Okay, whatever happened. I don't know what happened. And we kept the intensity. And they lost their intensity for the next three games. So all these are lessons for what we need to do. Because this is a long battle. And I go back to, in my memory, back to college. I'm talking about college. 1963, what happened? President Kennedy was assassinated. Now it's come out that the CIA was involved because he was threatening to get rid of the deep state CIA. Oh, what have we heard about deep state? Yeah, we can get you six or seven ways. Well, we've heard that just recently as people are commenting about Trump. Well, they did get President Kennedy because he was trying to get rid of them. And LBJ, before he died, admitted that he signed the warrant, the death warrant. And of course, he became president. So these are all things that really happened. And it's all about your state. Okay, and JFK was going to overthrow the deep state. And like Trump today, he was obviously got killed. Okay, you know, and we knew it pretty much within a day or two. We knew the fire was, that they were shooting at him from in front, not from in back, and he got knocked back. I mean, I don't want to go into that whole thing, but it's pretty well concluded that this Lee Harvey Oswald didn't shoot him from some tower from behind with a single shot kind of rifle. I mean, saying that's just, but the point I'm making is the big lie is in, and it's really easy for us to get caught in the big lie. Now, the topic we're talking about involves the big lie, and the real thing is identity politics. So how is identity politics kind of caught in with this? Because, first of all, it's an illusion, okay? I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, I'm an independent, who cares? It's not the truth of things. But people act according to their identity. I'm a college student, and I'm protesting about this. You know, it's like people kind of get identified with their kind of position. And so that's become a big thing. What crowd are you with? Are you with God? No. Or that has nothing to do with identity politics. You're identifying with this group or that group, and then you're loyal to them. You know, what I hear about the college protesters, you know, is like their line now is, you know, go talk to the head of our group. We don't talk. Because people are afraid to even express the truth because they look so ignorant, you know. From the river to the sea, and somebody says, well, what river? Well, I don't know for sure. What sea are you talking about? Oh, I don't really know. Now, that is very embarrassing, but that has come up very consistently. So now their thing is, don't say anything, just make a lot of noise and demonstrate, even though you don't know what you're demonstrating for. This is really sad. Identity politics has nothing to do with knowing what you're doing. It has nothing to do with really analyzing the situation. It has to do with feelings, it has to do with emotions. And the result is, as they say, the new game on there is, we'll talk to our kind of demonstration leader. They're the only ones authorized to talk to. So nobody has an opinion. And it's like, that's what we're looking at today. And again, people don't really know what they're talking about, and that's pretty scary. But identity to politics kind of extends in a lot of directions. First, you have the straight political Republicans, Democrats, independents, and whatever else. In 63, after the wake-up call, which is what happened, which is happening now, Kennedy's assassination. And then, of course, you have Martin Luther King in 68, okay, and in 65, Malcolm X. Those are all bumps in school. Actually, at Columbia Medical School, it's like, oh, this is Columbia, so it's a center point. And actually, where Malcolm X got assassinated was right across from Columbia Medical School. Okay, but the point I'm making is all that comes from people really getting divided in their thinking and identifying with certain symbols that may or may not be the truth, but they result in something. And you have to be, you know, and these people were all paid as well. That's part of what also was going on. But you don't do those things just for money, okay? You're identifying with the position. So after Kennedy, it was like, okay, Tweedledee and Tweedledum, is there really a difference? When you look at the big picture, there really isn't, okay? You know, I'll talk about Israel for a second. The policy to Israel hasn't really changed from Harry Truman on. Okay, Trump was the only one that varied somewhat in a positive way. So you can track all the things that they've done. You know, it's like Kissinger. They in Israel at the time when Kissinger was in, and they had the first major attack coming from the north. And I think it was 2000, and I'm not sure exactly. I think it was in 1967, actually. And thousands of Israelis were killed. And Golda Meir was told that she called Kissinger, and she said, we get this rumor there's going to be an attack. Oh, no attack, no problem. Don't worry about it, you know. Tone it down. And 4 hours later, there was a major attack that killed thousands of Israelis. Now, what I'm saying is that's not exactly a big change in policy from what we're seeing today. So there are trends, but there's a steadiness in the policies that we're talking about. So whether you're a Democrat or Republican, Tweedledee, Tweedledum, then you have, you know, what's your sexual orientation? Does it really matter? Not really. When I say that, you know, what matters is, are you connected with God? Okay. I mean, in the early 80s, I did several same-sex marriages in California, and they were the first in the area. These people really connected, and, you know, I supported them in their relationships, and it was really, it was good, okay? Two men and also two women. The point I'm making is that what's important here is your love of God and your love for yourself, okay? Then you don't need an identity to hang on to make you the illusion of feeling good. There's only one identity. There's only God. Just think about that for a second. All these other identities separate you from everybody else and from your own soul. So we want to identify with our own soul. We want to identify with our oneness in the big picture. Now, I will say something about Malcolm X, who I was corresponding with and connected and talking on the phone with. And I was trying to get him to come to Amherst College, where I went to obviously college. And he got he said, they're trying to assassinate me. I have to kind of stay in a more protected situation. So he is aware that, as he said, the greater groups than the, you know, the black groups, it was really CIA, were trying to assassinate him. But he transcended, you know, because he started a little bit more racist. And then he saw the oneness. I mean, that's what allowed him to work with me. You know, he saw the oneness in things. So we can move from that identity politics. I'm black and I'm a black American and here's my politics. And, you know, and he moved beyond that. And he breaked with the black Muslims in Chicago, where he was kind of connected to them. And, you know, it was a big deal. And then we went to Saudi Arabia, you know, and again, you saw people there, people from all over the place, all different skin colors and races. They're all connected to Islam. And it's like it woke him up. And after that, he began to be open to, you know, go beyond identity politics. And of course, Martin Luther King in 68, he was beyond identity politics too. And it, you have to go that far to get beyond it, and your constituency to be really a leader. I was living in Central Harlem in 68 when Martin Luther King was assassinated. And it was really difficult. People were really freaked out. And I mean, in Central Harlem. So it wasn't so comfortable to be a white person living in Central Harlem after that for a little bit. So, but what I'm saying is, you know, we can transcend it. And how do you transcend it? Is you see the light of God in every person. You see the light of God in yourself, and you know, we know our oneness. How do you do that? Well, I talk about six foundations and sevenfold peace, but most directly, meditation. Why meditation? Because when you go inside, you experience the oneness. You get a direct experience of the truth of what it's all about. And that's the cure. That's the antidote, okay, to identity politics. Because you know the oneness directly. It's not a theory. So there is an antidote to this. The people in charge around the world are focusing on identity politics to get people to fight with each other and separate from each other. And we'll talk a civil war. And it's like, you folks, you don't get it. You know, you're just being used so that, you know, the New World Order can come into to power, at least temporarily. And it's like, this identity politics, and then we'll have a one leader, we'll unite it all, and then that all will change when you see where that goes. So there's a whole prophecy, and this is kind of part of it, unfortunately, is in identity politics. Now, the point is, it's supposed to wake you up. It's somewhere along the line, and I see this happening in America, and I see it happening around the world. People are moving beyond the identity politics. People get away from it pretty quickly. And I think that's a really important thing to get. So we need to not get caught in that. You know, identity politics has to do with ego and building your ego. And when you're in oneness, you're not thinking about your ego. You're experiencing the oneness and seeing the light of God in everybody, no matter what their accomplishments are or whatever. Because when you're in oneness consciousness, the ego disappears. You still need an ego because you have a body, it's part of your ego. You have to walk, you know, do your job and think and do that. That's ego. But I'm talking about the egoic consciousness, which is what separates people. So when people don't feel good about themselves, instead of seeing the light of God in themselves, they can identify with this or that or that, you know, and have the illusion of feeling good about themselves. It doesn't really work, causes a big mess, but the only people it works for are the people trying to make a one-world government. Well, everything's so bad, we'll just have one-world government, we'll have lockdowns, and we'll do this. And, you know, are you for weather changes or against? Well, you know, it's absurd, because when you realize it, the cycles for the last thousands of years are warming, cooling, warming, cooling. That's just the way it is. And that's at least the last 600,000 years. I mean, that's a long time. Warming, cooling, okay? It was warmer in the 30s, warmer in the 50s. Now we're a little bit into cooling. And then after 2032, start to move into warming again. And then later it'll be cooling. It's like, but you're identifying with this piece instead of the bigger piece. So we have, you know, climate change is, again, an identity politics thing, okay? And the wars are identity politics thing. And sexual identification, identity politics. And politics are identity politics. And our work is to go beyond that, where we can kind of, you know, make clear decisions not based on your ego identity, but to what's best for yourself, your family, the nation, and the world. So identity politics gets in the way of that understanding. So that's why it's so important that we're able to transcend. I say when we meditate into the oneness, it's a lot easier to transcend it, because you can see the light of God in everybody. And if people don't share your, you know, what you're identifying with, they're not evil and they're not bad. They may have a different opinion based on their life experience. That's all. And but even that, when people go to war, when this is happening, how quickly those differences go away, because you have to have that oneness to make it work. So the key is to move away from the illusion of separation, illusion of identity politics that builds the baby ego, and move back into oneness. Richard, I'm going to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, I think you've identified a key essential point in all the issues today. And, you know, it's more than a philosophy, more than an intellectual idea.
Right.
It's going to be an experience. And I think that's why you brought up meditation.
Exactly. It is an experience. It's a knowing, not knowing about.
Yeah, exactly. And people who aren't familiar with the experience of meditation might think that it's just a bunch of nothingness, you know, like the old, excuse me, Zen idea, where you just stop all your thoughts and there's nothing. But when there's nothing, there's a presence you become aware of more and more. And that presence is the one that's in your everybody. And there's a difference between the kind of prayer where you're saying, God, please help us, versus letting the mind stop and focusing on the presence inside without worrying about what it's called. Once you experience that, you start becoming aware that it's everywhere. It's not just in one place. And it changes your decisions, changes your judgment, changes your activities. And it brings to mind, when you're talking about what's going on in the world, the famous phrase from the Nuremberg trials that were admittedly show trials because they let most of those people go to work for the government. But the ones that they did convict, they said just following orders doesn't work, or as an excuse. And yet almost everybody is doing that now. So when you become aware of that oneness, you can't just follow orders anymore because it goes against what you're connected to. Everything changes.
Right. So the key, I think as Richard is saying, what I'm saying is, yeah, you have to think for yourself, but and be individual, but also experience the oneness. And it's an inner experience. That's why meditation is so important, to be able to get that. And I believe more and more people are waking up. Now, I don't really teach meditation so much here, but maybe I should. It takes an extra few minutes, but I teach it on Wednesday for a different group and multiple times on Thursdays. We also have a world peace meditation where I also teach it on Sundays. It's 6:30 Israel time, and you can, yeah, and 11:30 East Coast time. So we have it, and people can learn how to do it, and it takes you about 5 minutes. Yeah, I mean, you can take a course in meditation. You can take 2 weeks or 3 weeks, but you can learn it in a very short time. And that's the good news, too. It's not that complicated.
Thank you. So wonderful project.
Those are the different times that it is happening. So if you're interested, there you go. This is Sunday night. This is Sundays. And all the different places in the world, you know, the different time places. So it's easy to learn. That's what we're saying. And the more we meditate on a daily basis, the more world peace happens.
Right. And your personal life changes too. I think what you could also do, since we've got a couple of minutes, is give examples of situations that are evolving in the world right now that are a threat to life, and the response to that that changes when you're in touch with that stillness within. Two of which come to mind. One is the fact that our leaders are really pushing for nuclear war between NATO and Russia. They really want it as soon as possible, and they're serious and they're ready to do it. And the other one is the impending threat of total lockdowns in the name of avian flu, and that's being ramped up right now with the government agencies and people who work within the power structure as well as the general public will respond differently to both of those, to the degree that they're in touch with what you're talking about.
Right. You know, it's interesting about the what I call the bioweapon injection, which is really the quote vaccine. A lot of people in the Department of Health didn't get vaccinated, surprisingly enough. At NIH, they didn't get vaccinated, and a lot of the leaders, a lot of people in Congress, didn't get really vaccinated. Some of them had fake vaccinations with, you know, saline, so they knew, okay, and they knew that this wasn't good for your health.
Yeah, that becomes more obvious when you get still inside and drop fear and drop the fake identities that you're carrying around. You realize that the idea of injecting anything through a hollow needle into the physical body is completely bogus. There's no benefit to any of it. It's all based on lies.
And the result has been disasters. There was at least a 40% increase in mortality overall since they started these bioweapon injections. Obviously, increases in heart attacks, increases in disease in young children that never were there before, heart attacks in teenagers. It's like, oh, suddenly it's normal. No, it's never was normal. So one of the problems we face is the kind of brainwash that's going on, that, you know, when kids don't normally die of heart attacks and you have all these high school players, football players and athletes dying of heart attacks, like, what? And a 40% increase. And some of the research shows as much as a 3 to 8 fold increase in rate of getting the flu, the getting sick, if you were injected versus non-injected. So the non-vaccinated did better or have done better and will continue to do better, you know, with the COVID. It's like the proof is in the results. And they're not in a hurry to print those results, but of course, people like me, I'm getting all that information all over and researching her, and it's like, it's scary. All over the world, that's been the problem.
And scary to realize that what we've memorized is not true.
Say it again?
It's scary to recognize that what we've memorized is not true.
Yeah, it's called propaganda.
Yeah.
And they are scaring people, and we identify with the fear. That's another problem that happens, that fear justifies illogical actions.
Even some of the famous doctors who realize that the COVID injection was a bioweapon say, well, it's not a real vaccine. The real vaccines are all wonderful and save the world from polio and smallpox, all that stuff. And all that is also untrue. As far as I can tell, there's no benefit from any vaccines.
The main cause of polio at this point is, and Dr. Salk said it, the main cause?
Yeah.
The Salk vaccine. Polio vaccine is the main cause of polio. So that was pretty bold of him to say that.
That was amazing. And when you really look into it, there's an interesting website called thecontrolgroup.org. And what they did is they did a study that exposed all the vaccines lead to health damage right back to the beginning.
In my book, Conscious Parenting, I have a whole chapter explaining all that in detail. You see it?
Yeah.
And a whole chapter on the vaccination issue and how kids that aren't vaccinated do way better. Like 8 times less, you know, dyslexia and all those kinds of things. And generally, kids are vaccinated at a much higher rate of chronic disease, even as teenagers. It's a little scary how bad it's been.
You mentioned letting go of fear. I think fear is what's made people susceptible to grabbing onto beliefs for comfort. And to feel like, I've got to know all the answers, so I need the authorities to tell me. And it, because of that susceptibility, we've taken on incredible lies, one of which is the whole virus myth. And once they have the people believing that, like with the upcoming pandemic that they're planning with bird flu, they don't really need even a toxin to make the birds sick, because birds get sick anyway. All they need is a PCR test. Anything that you have diagnosed with a PCR test, you know it's completely bogus and has no...
About 90% inaccurate, the PCR test.
Right, and beyond that, the inventor of it, Terry Mullis, I think was his name, he said you can't diagnose anything at all, any percent. With this, it's not a diagnostic tool. It's a lab instrument. It's like kind of like a high-tech magnifying glass. Will find anything in anybody, even if it's one molecule. And there's no diagnosis that has any validity with PCR. And that's how they're doing the bird flu now. And that's how they're showing it jumping to people and in cows. And that's how they're showing it in chickens and why they're killing all the animals. It's
honestly, I don't think it's going to work. I think a lot of people are wised up to it. When you look at the data in many places, a lot of people took the 80% in U.S., I think, to the first vaccination. And I think it dropped at like 10% by the second and third. I think people are wised up around the world.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. And now they can take it one step further and know when they're told there's a viral outbreak, don't believe it. I've had discussions with before this current situation started with me, and I was doing interviews with top virologists. We couldn't get any of them to clarify any solid evidence of the existence or transmission of any virus. They've never been seen. And that really changes the whole argument about the coming bird flu and the next pandemic and all that. There's no such thing.
Yeah, but they're going to try hard to get people to believe it. But people are waking up. They are no longer identifying with false science. You know, the biggest joke around is when Fauci talked about it's the science. You know, it's like, no, it's not the science. It's the fake science. And I think a lot of people see that now. Unfortunately, yeah. He's ruined it, because then you can't really refer to science. You have to, or any papers. It's a little unfortunate.
Interestingly enough, the same general reason why they want to kill all the animals on the farms now, based on this viral idea, it's the same reason they want to pasteurize all raw products, because germs are a threat to life.
Yeah. And, we can end a little bit by saying the idea is not to be in fear. The idea is to work towards optimal health, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And then you got your rate of protection, your immune system is so strong that whatever's going on, you're far less likely to get sick from whatever is going on.
Right.
So the focus is on good nutrition, good health, good exercise, meditation, good hydration, and then you're going to be far more protective.
Right.
That's the real prevention is the real approach here.
I think the farmers all over the world are starting to realize, too, that this program is not for protecting human health. It's to shut down food growing.
Yeah, it's called starvation.
Exactly. It's been done before.
Yeah.
So don't fall for it. If they come to your farm, don't fall for it.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on farmers, but I know this will get resolved too. But they're working hard to depopulate the world, and that's part of the game plan. And
that's right.
And what's going on even in China is they're starting to move against the depopulation, because there aren't enough people born in U.S., China, and Europe to actually repopulate or even maintain the population, which is a big deal.
Yeah, very severe in places like Japan.
Yeah, Japan's very unhappy about it. So we're asking people to kind of check out the material yourself, find people you trust, look at the literature. Don't go into fear and make decisions based on bogus fear.
That's right. Fear is optional no matter what happens.
And see the oneness.
Yes.
See the oneness. This is so important. Because when we're in unity, which will happen, okay? It will happen. Then the global elite will not be able to keep tricking people and will no longer be able to control the population for their benefit. It's pretty straightforward. The game is clear. It's gotten really clearer, actually, in the last few years. So I bless everybody that we're able to identify with the one, to identify with the light of God within ourselves and everyone else, and move away from the illusion of ego identity politics into the truth of the oneness and the light of the divine of which all of us are. Amen. Aho. Om Atakyasin. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Thank you, Dr. Cousins.
Yeah, well, thank you, Richard, and thank you, Doug. But now, Richard, going to wrap it up.
All about health on all the different levels. You know, be from the physical to the spiritual, it's really all included in that oneness that Gabriel is talking about. And all of his programs are about health, whether it's spiritual, physical, or whatever. And they're all visible, and you can take a look at them at drcousins.com or treeoflife.mn.co. And it's the same thing that we're working with in Planetary Healing Club. No guarantee one day to the next of how long any of us will be here, but we're here now. We're doing our best, and so are you. And at Planetary Healing Club, we're focusing on that same oneness and the consciousness that you carry around with you in between the official meditations. It's really critical, and it affects everything that happens in your life, including all the physical ones. So welcome anytime you want to join us there, Planetary Healing Club. I guess the last thing that I would mention is that you're talking about fear and that inner consciousness of oneness. They don't go together. So fear can be dropped the more that oneness comes in, and that automatically happens and flows through you. In that stillness, you don't have to create it. You don't have to manufacture it. In a way, it's learning to do nothing and be receptive and pay attention and then carry that with you all day. Fear is a lot like vaccines. It has no benefit in any way, and it doesn't help you do anything. So might as well let it go now. Be receptive to what flows through you, because it'll guide every decision that you need to make for all of us. So with great appreciation and thank you for the prayers and support and good wishes and good energy, we wish you all a wonderful week, and we'll see you here next time.
And thank you, Doug, for being behind the scenes, making this happen on the stage crew level.
None of this would be possible without a diamond doing all the work.
Okay. Peace be with you.
See you next time.